This is Vatican Radio, and I am Lydia O'Kane. 2 months on from a devastating typhoon that struck the central Philippines, and those affected are continuing to rebuild their lives and livelihoods. But while much of the emphasis on the relief efforts has focused on providing food and shelter, the church in the Philippines has also been turning its attention to the psychological trauma people have suffered as a result of the disaster. Redemptorist Father Carlos Ronquillo is director of the Alphonsus Theological and Mission Institute in the Philippines. He says letting people tell their story should be an integral component in responding to disaster situations like the typhoon.
That's what we saw when we were there, no? People were telling us on the ground in the disaster zone, when the religious who visited the homes were describing the experiences, they were telling me that people were just telling them that we received relief goods, fine, but we were never allowed to tell our stories. And that really caught the attention of many of those who were doing the debriefing for these people. And it is precisely an affirmation on our part when we organized this mission of religious people, Catholic religious men and women from the southern Philippines. We believe that that should be an integral component of any effort that should be done by the church, you know, in responding to disaster situations like a typhoon.
2 months on from the disaster, how has the church been continuing to support the people, both in a psychological and in a material sense?
Actually, this psychological intervention is a new phenomenon in the Philippines, you see? And what the church had been used to is the temporal approach to the problematic, which is understandable because people are desperate. People are in need, and the immediate needs to be attended would definitely be food, you know? And most of them have lost their homes and definitely shelter. But we have failed to recognize that in this situation, they did not only lose their homes, they lost many of their family members. And that is more traumatic than simply losing properties, you know, and the job or opportunities for economic sustenance. And precisely for that reason, that a psychological intervention, if ever a response should be given, be an integral component from here on. That's what I fully believe now, that without any psychological intervention, our response as church would still be deficient. In the experiences I had responding to Typhoon Bofa last year here in Mindanao, and also responding to Typhoon Haiyan there in Central Visayas. We really need that component as an integral element in our missionary response to disaster.
So basically what you're saying is, God forbid that there's another typhoon or disaster like this, but in future this may well be, as you say, a component that's really not a secondary thing, but a principal thing.
It's an unnegotiable component, I think. It's an unnegotiable component. If ever we would like to be true to our response, it has to be an integral response from here on, not simply giving relief goods. Ecological component, which is a lasting, you know, thing that would impact the lives of people, should be addressed at the earlier, you know, stages of the disaster. Because the moment they are left, you know, the lingering effect of this to people would be horrible. And we had already experiences of this in last year's disaster that we had here in Mindanao, in the southern Philippines. Many of them, when the rain starts, you know, falling, they're now afraid. They don't know how to manage their fear. Now, just come to think of it, in a big number of children, you have, you know, adults having gone through the traumatic experience of saving their own selves, you know, from the surges, and seeing their relatives just dying or disappearing. How do you locate, you know, that experience, and where would they get the resource to be able to handle that? Definitely not the relief would respond. There's got to be a certain storytelling. There's got to be a certain accompaniment, which would enable them more or less to face up to the shadows that they had experienced through that disaster. That boat that was just swept, you know, by the surge, we were just beside that place and in a nearby squatters area. And the people there have lost lives of their family members. And one family member lost the entire family. She was the lone survivor, lost her husband, lost her children. Nobody, you know, who would attend to her. Definitely it's not the food that would console her. It's not the relief food. There's got to be something that you could offer her beyond what, you know, what the traditional response that we give to these people.
I wanted to ask you about, you were talking and you've talked at length about the psychological aspect, which is, as you're saying, is fundamental. But also during this disaster, people lost their livelihoods, which involved their businesses or how they earn money. So on an economic level, it must be extremely difficult for people who've been affected, who've lost their livelihoods. Yeah. How are they coping? Yeah,
yeah. Well, when we deal with response, there are two different levels. You know, the first response is, how do you address to their immediate needs? Definitely the relief goods would have to be provided. Definitely the psychological intervention would have to be provided. That's the first stage. The next stage would be the rehabilitation phase, wherein you rehabilitate. You provide them with means to be able to, you know, pull themselves up, like, you know, socioeconomic contributions. For example, some people now have helped the farmers by providing them seeds to start replanting. So that's the second phase. You don't do that in the early stages. So again, if you fail to produce or so more or less offer the psychosocial intervention, you could properly locate also when you do rehabilitation, when you enter into the rehabilitation phase, the psychosocial intervention, particularly if the rehabilitation efforts that you do is more or less premised on a food forward scheme, then you could introduce psychosocial intervention within the actual engagement of the people in the rehabilitation work. Like, for example, if you're building homes for them for a food for work scheme, then there's got to be a certain level where in psychosocial intervention among those who are working could be put into place. That's what we see also as an important component in rehabilitation, that the psychosocial intervention is not, you know, taken away in every stage of recovery of the people. You see, what is concrete reality among religious is that they have this resource within them. Religious formation from different congregations and orders are often premised on psychological processing. They have this experience, and most of them, because of their length of time in the ministry, have also, you know, gained the expertise on this. What is important is, how do you harness that resource that's there on top of many religious priests and sisters and brothers, and release this, you know, you redefine that, you repackage that, and bring that resource in the service of those who are most in need. That's what we have experienced here when we had about 92 sisters, priests, and religious for 1 week doing psychosocial intervention, releasing that resource that they already have, rechanneling that, redirecting that, giving them, you know, the facility and the little training on how to do it. And there, they were able to succeed in breaking the walls with the people, and easily people were able to relate to them, tell their stories, and that's it. The healing, more or less, began.